Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Zen and Japanese Culture by Deizutsu T. Suzuki is a landmark work that explores how Zen Buddhism influenced the development of Japanese aesthetics, ethics, and everyday disciplines. Written by one of the most influential interpreters of Zen for modern readers, the book connects religious practice with cultural expression, showing Zen not simply as a set of doctrines, but as a lived orientation that shaped ways of seeing, making, and acting. Suzuki ranges across historical periods and social settings, linking Zen training to arts such as ink painting, poetry, and the tea tradition, while also discussing the formation of character in martial disciplines and codes of conduct. The Princeton Classics edition highlights the enduring impact of Suzuki's approach, which is both scholarly and interpretive. Rather than treating culture as a backdrop, Suzuki presents culture as a field where spiritual insight becomes visible. The result is a wide-angle introduction to Zen as a formative current within Japanese civilization and as a practical sensibility relevant beyond Japan. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Zen as a lived experience shaping culture. The central theme of the book is that Zen is best understood through lived experience and embodied practice, not merely through abstract philosophy. Suzuki portrays Zen as a training of attention that alters how a person meets ordinary life, and he argues that this shift in awareness helped form distinctive Japanese cultural patterns. Instead of isolating Zen within monasteries, he traces how its attitudes permeated social life through institutions, crafts, and disciplined arts. This includes an emphasis on directness, simplicity, and the ability to respond without excessive mental hesitation. Suzuki's interpretive lens links Zen insight to a culture that values understated expression and the eloquence of what is left unsaid. He also suggests that Zen practice cultivates a certain freedom from rigid conceptualization, enabling creative action that feels spontaneous yet highly trained. In this topic, the book functions as a map showing how spiritual training can migrate into aesthetics and behavior, and how cultural achievements can be read as expressions of a deeper orientation. Readers gain a framework for recognizing Zen not as exotic mysticism, but as a practical engine of cultural formation, where inner discipline and outer form mutually reinforce each other over time. Secondly, aesthetics of simplicity in the arts. Suzuki connects Zen to Japanese artistic sensibilities by focusing on simplicity, restraint, and the power of minimal means. He discusses how artistic practices can become vehicles for training perception, shaping the mind to see form, space, and movement with unusual clarity. In this view, art is not primarily decoration or self-expression, but a disciplined path where technique and inner state converge. Suzuki highlights the role of emptiness, asymmetry, and suggestion, where a sparse brushstroke or an uncluttered composition invites the viewer to complete the scene inwardly. Such aesthetics align with Zen's preference for immediacy over explanation, urging an encounter with the thing itself rather than a commentary about it. The topic also emphasizes the value of naturalness, where the highest skill looks effortless, not showy, because it has been absorbed into the body. By reading arts through Zen, Suzuki offers an interpretive key for understanding why certain Japanese forms favor quiet intensity and why refinement can appear as deliberate plainness. For readers, this topic provides a coherent way to connect Zen practice to artistic choices in painting, calligraphy, poetry, and related traditions, and to see aesthetics as a mode of attention training. Thirdly, tea, ritual, and the discipline of everyday life. The book treats the tea tradition as a major example of how Zen values can shape ritual and daily behavior. Suzuki presents ritual not as empty formalism, but as a structured environment that cultivates mindfulness, humility, and respect. The tea setting compresses an entire worldview into small gestures preparing space, handling utensils, moving with care, and receiving a guest with undivided presence. Such actions turn the ordinary into a field of practice, where the goal is not theatrical performance, but a purified attention to what is happening now. Suzuki's account also points to how constraints can produce freedom when behavior is refined through rules and repetition. The mind can settle and act without self-conscious noise. The tea tradition, likewise, embodies an ethic of simplicity and economy, where objects and movements are chosen for function and spirit rather than luxury. In this topic, Suzuki helps readers see how Zen influenced a Japanese ideal of cultivated everydayness, where the highest values are expressed through common activities. The benefit for modern readers is practical. It suggests that depth need not require withdrawal from life, because discipline, care, and presence can be practiced in routine settings and social interactions. Fourthly, martial traditions, character, and fearlessness. Suzuki also examines the relationship between Zen and Japanese martial disciplines, focusing on how training aims at more than physical technique. He links Zen to the cultivation of composure, decisiveness, and an ability to act without paralysis from fear or overthinking. In martial contexts, this can be understood as the capacity to respond appropriately in a moment that does not allow deliberation. Suzuki interprets this as a mind trained to be clear, unblocked, and fully present, where action arises from long preparation rather than impulsiveness. He also addresses how discipline and ethical codes can intersect with spiritual training, forming ideals of loyalty, self-control, and responsibility. At the same time, his cultural reading invites reflection on the risks of romanticizing warrior values, because any philosophy connected to power can be misunderstood or misused. This topic is valuable because it shows Zen's influence on character formation and on models of courage in Japanese history, while also encouraging readers to distinguish between genuine inner freedom and mere aggression. For contemporary readers interested in sports, performance, or high-pressure decision-making, Suzuki's discussion offers a lens on how mental training and embodied practice can produce calm intensity and reliable execution. Lastly, interpreting Japan through Zen and Zen through Japan. A major contribution of the book is its attempt to interpret Japanese culture through Zen influence, while also using cultural evidence to clarify Zen's practical meaning. Suzuki offers broad cultural synthesis, moving between religious history, aesthetic forms, and social ideals. This approach helps readers see patterns across domains that might otherwise feel disconnected, such as why certain arts, rituals, and disciplines share a preference for understatement and precision. It also raises important questions about method: how far can one tradition explain an entire culture, and where do other forces such as politics, class, and historical change also matter, even when readers disagree with particular emphases. The book remains influential because it provides an integrated model for thinking about culture as a living system shaped by ideas and practices over centuries. This topic encourages critical reading as well as appreciation, inviting readers to engage Suzuki's claims as interpretations rather than final verdicts. The value lies in learning a way to read cultural artifacts as expressions of training, worldview, and collective habits of mind. Readers interested in Japan, comparative religion, or aesthetics gain a framework that connects spiritual practice to cultural creativity and that opens further inquiry into how traditions travel, adapt, and become visible in everyday life. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand Japanese culture beyond surface descriptions, including students of religion, art history, aesthetics, and anyone curious about how spiritual practice can shape daily life. It will also appeal to practitioners of meditation, martial arts, and creative disciplines who are interested in the connection between inner training and outward skill. The primary benefit is perspective. Suzuki offers a way to interpret cultural forms as expressions of attention, discipline, and values, which can deepen how readers engage with art, ritual, and work. Even if you are not studying Japan formally, the book can encourage a more deliberate approach to living, emphasizing simplicity, presence, and the idea that mastery can look quiet rather than loud. Compared with many modern introductions to Zen that focus mainly on meditation techniques or simplified self-help lessons, this volume stands out for its cultural range and for its ambition to connect philosophy with concrete traditions. It is worth buying because it provides a classic interpretive framework that many later writers respond to, whether in agreement or critique. Owning it gives you a foundational reference point for thinking about Zen's historical impact and for reading Japanese cultural achievements with greater depth and coherence. If you would like to support Daisetsu Suzuki, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.